Lord, help me to be faithful to your word and what you want me to say today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We have reached the Feast of Epiphany. Christmas season is ending. It's time to put the Christmas decorations away. In this country, Twelfth Night, or Epiphany, is no longer popularly celebrated or has much significance. But across other countries, Epiphany is much more celebrated. And in various ways, you may see processions of the manger. You may have gift giving, a present delivering witch, or jumping into freezing water, or cakes with a hidden secret. When we lived in Germany, children dressed as the Magi would come to our door, recite some words of blessing, and talk over our door, giving us blessings for the coming year. And you may have seen as you came in that Simon has already chalked over the door for here, our church door, and he's going to talk a little bit more about that later. I have also made a Mexican roscandales, or king's wreath cake, for you to share. And my apologies to anyone for whom this is their tradition. I may have not done it quite correctly. I did my best. Traditionally, it has a small porcelain doll hidden in the cake. I have used a whole almond, which I'm told is an acceptable substitute. And the tradition states that if you find the doll or almond in your slice, you are the king or queen for the day, but also that you have to hold a party at Candlemas. We won't hold you to that, but do stay for refreshments and try a slice afterwards. An epiphany is a moment of sudden understanding or revelation. Basically, a moment when you have realised or become aware of something, pretty much a aha moment. Our reading from Matthew today is one which is very familiar to most of us, but always worth further study. So let's see if we can find some of those aha moments in it for us today. First, a little quiz to see if you were listening properly. How many kings were reported in this portion of Matthew's Gospel? Anyone?
One, King
Herod. Oh.
Nearly right.
No, I think they don't say.
Two kings. King Herod and the King of the Jews. The baby, the King of the Jews. Good thinking, though. So, how many wise men are reported in Matthew's Gospel?
Multiple, at least two.
Well, if we're being really picky, none. Neither wise men nor wise women. To be fair, if you are familiar with the King James or some other translation of the Bible, they do mention wise men. But if we were listening carefully, it was Magi that we heard. So, how many Magi were reported?
It doesn't say.
Absolutely right. We have no idea how many Magi came, nor whether they came on camels, which we may see in our nativity scenes. All we actually know is that they followed the star, they brought gifts of great value and significance. But who were these Magi? Well, there seems to be some controversy over this. Many commentators identify them as Persian Zoroastrian priests who practiced astrology and astronomy. And they certainly seem to be interpreters of omens, following a star, dreaming dreams. And actually, the Hebrew word for wise men is also used to designate this class of astrological advisors through the Old Testament. Sometimes they were seen as conniving political figures, but various kings in the ancient world frequently consulted these men because of their skill in interpreting omens, signs, and the stars. So maybe to call them wise men or women is not so wrong. That reminds me of the old joke, that if there had been three wise women instead of men, they would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped to deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought disposable nappies as gifts. But to be serious again, what about calling the visitors kings? Well, as early as the 2nd century AD, the early Christian author Tertullian argued that their visit fulfilled Solomon's prayer in Psalm 72. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present you gifts. And we are reminded of the Queen of Sheba's visit to Solomon. But Tertullian found Isaiah 60, which was also read to us this morning, to be the most compelling evidence. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn, and all from Sheba will come, bearing golden incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. It's impossible to miss the clear parallels to Matthew 2. We may never know whether the Magi were literal kings, but the idea of kings or queens bringing treasure from Babylon is a compelling way to envisage the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. Whether we choose to think of them as Magi, wise men or women, kings or queens, these were most likely people of standing, not dodgy fake magicians, but respected leaders of their communities, the influencers of their time. And they saw the star, they followed it till it stopped, recognised the child, and worshipped. No wonder Herod was worried. These honoured, influential guests told of a new king, a threat to his power. Recently, Alan and I watched a film called The Courier. It told the true story of a very ordinary businessman played by Benedict Cumberbatch, who carried information out of the Soviet Union during the early 60s, information which led to the Americans discovering the Cuban missiles, a time which could have so easily ended in nuclear war. One of the things which struck us was the depiction of Nikita Khrushchev as an autocratic ruler, surrounded by yes-men who saw any signs of compromise or reversal as a sign of weakness. We were reminded of the current situation in Russia and President Putin. It brings to mind the old adage that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. President Khrushchev did later conduct successful negotiations with the United States to reduce Cold War tensions, so perhaps there is always hope. But King Herod was in that mould, the autocratic despot who does not recognise a higher power, a better way, and is unable to bear the thought of anyone challenging his throne and his power. And as we read next in Matthew's Gospel, he responds to the news the visitors brought by ordering the execution of all male children who are 2 years old and under in the vicinity of Bethlehem. But of course, despite the horror, he fails to remove the one who really matters. Herod's power was temporal and temporary. The Magi recognized the true king, the true source of power, despite it being found in the shape of a small child. They worshipped and brought gifts. Gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, myrrh, the embalming substance for sacrifice. Whether they understood the true significance of the child, the Emmanuel, God with us, is uncertain, but they certainly had that aha moment. At this epiphany, the Magi knew they had found what they were looking for, and they acknowledged it with their worship and their gifts. Matthew in his Gospel wants us to know the significance of this child. He starts the Gospel off with the lineage of the genealogy of Christ so that can be sure of his lineage. He repeatedly references back to the promises, the prophecies of the Messiah, the promised one. But he makes sure that it is grounded. The reading begins not like a myth or a fable with long time ago in a far off land, but with a specific time during the reign of King Herod, and in a specific place in Bethlehem in Judea. This is the record of something of import, something that really happened, of the recognition of the Saviour of the world come to earth. And we too can have our epiphany, our aha moments. We are called to worship and to bring gifts. Last week we read together in the last verse of Christina Rossetti's lovely carol, In the Bleak Midwinter. I'm sure you know it well. It goes, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him, give my heart. Give the gift of your heart, your time, your terms. In this new year, perhaps it's time to consider again what you can bring to Jesus. So, call them magi, call them wise men or even kings. Whatever you choose to call them, these people were the first in the canonical New Testament to bow and worship the Lord Jesus and bring him gifts. This new year, we would do well to follow their example.
Amen. Amen.